Carney is Executive Director of the South Dakota High School Activities Association. He recently announced his retirement. He'll move on to the next adventure at the end of the current school year. He's a graduate of the University of South Dakota. He served students and student athletes in communities small and large across the state before taking the helm of the Activities Association in 2001. Wayne Carney joins me now in Sioux Falls. Welcome.
Good morning, Lori. How are you today?
I am well. And you, sir?
I'm just fine, thank you.
The year's almost over. You're getting excited?
It's coming to a close in a hurry. You know, we have the state tennis tournament in town this weekend, and then next weekend we're back for a state track meet. And then the following first Monday and Tuesday in June, we're back this way for four state golf tournaments. And then we have a board meeting on June 8th, a retirement gathering on June 9th, and then we're going to wrap up the year.
Tell me, in 2001, when you took the helm, did you think it was going to be 16 years? Did you think it was going to, that you'd be engaged and excited for that duration?
Well, yeah, I guess I did. I didn't take the position with an eye on retirement. I took the position with an eye on the future. And I knew the future was bright. Marlon Goldhammer and his staff, Bob Lowry and Ruth and Ken had left had the association in great hands. The current board and the boards that had served before that had the best interests of all of our students in mind. And so when I came in 2001, I knew I was coming into a very good situation. And you know, it's been a wonderful 16 years. You kind of look back and you wonder, where did all that time go? But you look at all the really neat people that you've met, all the incredible performances you saw from student athletes and performing arts students, it's been a lot of fun.
So if you get started in this role in 2001, that's, you know, pretty shortly after or at the same time of September 11th, 2001. Did that filter into athletics and fine arts activities?
You know, Nate and I were just talking about that a little bit ago, and when I first came in the office, one of my first things I wanted to accomplish was to develop a relationship with our Convention and Visitors Bureau's people from across the state. So we had set up a meeting in Chamberlain for that day, and I was driving to Chamberlain from Pierre, and my phone rang. It was one of the gals in our office and said, "Do you have your radio on?" And I said, "No, I'm listening to Johnny Cash tape or whatever." And they said, "Well, you might want to turn your radio on." So I turned the radio on. Of course, that's all that was on every channel. Arrived in Chamberlain at Cedar Shores, and I walked in. That's where we were going to meet. And of course, all the radio stations were covering what was going on. And needless to say, we canceled the meeting. But to get to your question, yeah, it really did. I mean, it brought everybody back to a reality of, you know, these are games that we're playing all across the country in high school activities programs. And there was a question, you know, do we play the games that were scheduled for that rest of that week? I know the NFL had a big thing, you know, do we play our NFL schedule on Sunday and Monday night? And the decision at that time was to go ahead and play, that we needed to keep a sense of normalcy as much as we could. And, you know, our schools did a great job of remembering those who were less fortunate with the goings on. And, you know, we got back to a schedule. It wasn't something that completely took everybody's mind off of what had gone on 9/11, but it certainly was good to get back to the Friday night football, the volleyball, you know, everything else that was typical of high school activities across the country.
When we talk about high school activities, from football to a one-act play to marching band to a golf tournament, how do you see that fitting in with the academic life of a student in South Dakota and just with sort of developing them as an adult, as a citizen?
Well, you know, one of the things that we kind of hang our hat on across the country with the National Federation and all the other 51 state associations is that we are educationally based, that our students are, to maintain their eligibility to do the things that you talked about, they have to first be a student, and a student meets the criteria of an academic, not the grade point, but that they're moving successfully towards the getting a diploma and moving on, you know. And so in that, you talk about time management, you talk about responsibility, you talk about being courteous, you talk about all the things that are going to lead these kids to be successful beyond high school. And I think that's what high school activities provide for our students. It gives them a diversion, if you will, from the traditional classroom. But in order to get that diversion, to go to a football practice or the one-act play or whatever the case might be, they have to be a student first. So I think it's terribly important. I think the kids learn. You talk to a lot of the people that are hiring young people. One of the things that they look at is, were they involved in activities programs, whether it be from student government to an athletic event to a performing arts event. It's things that they learn beyond the high school, beyond the classroom anyway, that a lot of our employers are looking at.
And sometimes it might be the number one reason a kid shows up for school that day.
Well,
you can't participate in the after-school activities.
You can't rule that out. But that's one of the reasons.
Twice.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we have, a lot of our schools have more stringent rules for academics than what the association have. You know, we just have a qualification that you have to earn successfully earn a minimum of 2.0 units of credit. Well, some of our schools have upped that to 2.5, some of maybe even 3. Some schools have a day or a weekly grade point average that they collect grades at the end of every week. And if you don't have a certain grade point average, or if you're failing a particular class, then you don't get to participate the next week. So you're right in the sense that some kids, that's the carrot on the end of the stick, is the programs that they're going to be involved with outside of the traditional classroom that helps them be successful in the classroom.
And others might go on to, this might be their future career. They might have a career in athletics. They might have a career in fine arts.
We look at a lot of our kids, and we have a poster that we do every year, one with athletics and one with performing arts, of kids who have gone on. We've done Chad Greenway 1 year, and the Haig brothers 1 year. So, these are people that have storied paths of success at the high school. They carried that on to the collegiate level, and then they carried it on to the point where it's a way of earning a living, and very successfully so. So, yeah, for the majority of our kids, the last game they're going to play is the game they play in high school. But for some of our kids, there's life beyond high school as far as the not only academic, but obviously in athletics, performing arts. We've got some kids that are on stage right now in New York that are graduates of some of our high schools in our state. So it's really thrilling for us as a staff to follow the career of student athletes beyond high school in both athletics and the performing arts.
Talk about some of the big changes in the last 16 years in athletics, for example. Let's go in that direction. What are some of the things that stand out as highlights?
Well, the biggest thing to start my 16 years was a season switch with the girls, volleyball and basketball. We were one of four states that was playing, that were not playing in what we call the traditional seasons. We were playing girls basketball in the fall, volleyball in the winter. 46 of the states were playing it just the opposite. They were playing volleyball in the fall and girls and boys basketball in the winter. That change was brought about by a lawsuit that came to the association in 2000. The board of directors and the staff at that time, that was a year before I came into the office, at that time they took it to our member schools, and they had done a really nice job of researching it. They knew that that was not a lawsuit they were going to win. It had been tried and was not successful, and just cost a lot of money to try to take that to win that case in court. So the schools voted very begrudgingly to make the season switch. Our athletic directors did an outstanding job. I was the athletic director at Washington High at that time, and it was just a matter of, okay, now we need to flop our two seasons. Our volleyball schedules had been set. Our officials had been hired for a fall season. Our volleyball schedules had been set. The officials had been hired for a winter season. Now it's a matter of within probably 4 or 5 months of switching all that, getting the gym space. It was not an easy task, but it was one that we knew had to be done. And to the credit of our schools, they did a great job. The schedules were changed when the fall season started. There was no panic. Everything went very, very smoothly. Before I came in the office, and I had the first thing laying on my desk when we got back from the summer meeting was a lawsuit to prevent the season switch. And of course, when we came down here, it was in the federal court here in Sioux Falls. And we met about for 2 or 3 days, I believe it was, with the judge. And then he dismissed the case and we moved forward. You know, from there, there was the addition of our visual arts and the performing arts side of it. We added competitive cheer and dance. We added show choir for the 2 years now, I believe we've had that. Changing in the board, when I came on staff, we had a 7-member board. First couple of years I was in the office, one of the things that was very easy to detect was a disconnect between our Native American schools and the association. And so we really went to work very diligently, I think, to develop that relationship. One of the things that we were very successful in doing, and that is adding a position to our board of directors, and that was not an easy task in that it needed a 60% vote. It required a constitutional change. And to get that constitutional change, you needed a 60% plurality of the schools that were actually voted on that particular amendment. Well, we had almost 80%. And so our schools realized the importance of it. And then 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, we had another constitutional change to add another position to our board of directors. And that was to guarantee either Sioux Falls or Rapid City, which has 25% of our students in our entire state in those two school districts, a position on the board. So you had to look at the change in the makeup of the board. You look at the addition of soccer was added. I think I forgot to mention soccer was added. So we added things on both the fine arts side and the athletic side. We've moved into a new building in 2004. We were in the old Kentucky Fried Chicken building when I came in the office. The joke was it was the only association in the United States where you could get a drive-up window, where you could get a drive-up, you know, a waiver of the transfer rule, whatever the case might be. But it was just not a very healthy environment to work in. You know, people were literally sitting on top of one another. And the association did a great job. You know, Marlon, to his credit, and to Bob, Ruth, and Ken at that time, that they had the money available over the years to go ahead and build the building and move into it. When we turned the key to go in, it was paid for. I think the relationship maybe I didn't mention was that of our corporate partners. Our corporate partners have done a great job of helping us over the course of the years, from Burger King to Core Trust to the current partners right now, of assisting the association financially. And it looks like we're on a mission, I guess, if you will, to ensure the financial security of the association for years to come with the foundation. And there's just a lot of things that are really exciting right now that'll be hard for me to walk away from, but I'm very comfortable that Dr. Dan Swartos will be the new executive director, and our current board of directors will do a great job of continuing what we've started and continuing it in the future.
What's your advice to him as you turn over the keys?
You know, when I talked to Dan a couple weeks ago, and he asked me the same question. He said, Wayne, if you could give me one piece of advice, what would it be? And I said, well, Dan, you've got a great staff coming in. You know, John Krogstrand, Joe Auk, Brooks Bowman, Isaac, our new comptroller, as well as the four gals that are in the office are all experienced. You know, they're great at what they do. They work well with all the folks here at South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Give them the tools to do their job and then just get out of their way. And I think that's the key for anybody in a leadership position, is don't try to micromanage all your employees. Give them a job, making sure that they understand what their role is, and then give them the tools that they need to do those jobs, and then let them do them. And Dan's going to have plenty to do, as he knows. We met for about 3.5 hours a couple weeks ago, and I think the association is going to be in great hands.
What's next for you?
Well, we really don't know. We know we're going to relocate back to Sioux Falls. All three of our children are here. We have 9 grandchildren, and number 10 is on the way. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. It'll be fun for me to get back into the college scene. You know, we got USF and Augie right here in town. You got USD and SDSU and DWU and DSU, all within about 60 miles of each other here. And you got Mount Marty is close. So I'm looking forward to getting back into some college football, some college basketball, working with the officials in this area. I'm sure Carol and I will do some traveling. You know, it'd be good to go get back up to North Dakota and visit the former executive director up there, Sherman Jackie. Keep in touch with Dave and Kathy in Minnesota, Barb and Rick in Iowa. I mean, there's just a lot of friends that we've met in the last 16 years in our what's called Section 5, which is North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. To keep in touch with those folks, maybe get together with a golf outing or doing something with them. Right now, they say, all the advice I've got for people, don't go looking for a job because one will find you. So we're just looking at, relocating and getting settled in back here, and we'll see where life takes us.
Wayne Carney is Executive Director for the South Dakota High School Activities Association. He retires at the end of this school year after 16 years of leadership with the organization. Wayne, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for the
opportunity. We appreciate your service and your time.
Thank you.